Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of 9,000 branch churches around the world, and local sanctuary members, and those who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. Let's give all thanks and glory to God the Father, who has blessed us to offer this 2011 Pastor's Devotional Service. Today is November 9th, 2011, right? The first devotional service. This is what a blessed day it is. And I have been entitled as the one of the 10 top pastors of the world of year 2010. I extend my thanks to all the devotees who have prepared for this devotional service with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Dear devotees, the title of today's message is Renewed Every Day. It means we have to be renewed day by day. So repeat it after me, renewed every day. Well, there is a Chinese character. Renewed every day and again. Well, it is, I think this is the first time Father God gave me this kind of title. Well, your faith must not be at a standstill or backsliding, but it has to grow every day. You can give glory to God through your life only when you are renewed every day. Of course, if one wanted to change quickly and to go into spirit and whole spirit, when you received God's grace, you felt confident that you could do it. But as you checked yourself a little later, some of you must have lamented and felt sorry before God because the speed of your change was so slow. Moreover, through the time of repentance last year, you realized the fleshly attributes that you had, which you hadn't been aware. And you felt like, is this really who I am? And when Father God revealed everything, well, those people who have been considered as good and gentle, even they were not gentle and they were severely rebuked by our Father God. But you don't have to be discouraged. If you rely on your own strength, you will become discouraged. But if you rely on the power of God, you can still be thankful and joyous. You are thankful because you can realize yourself. You can rejoice because God will change you, even though you cannot change by your own strength. You have to seek the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God by giving thanks and by rejoicing. As spoken by Apostle Paul, I die daily. You have to cast off the attributes of your old self and become renewed. So you have to check yourself every day, every week, every month, whether you die daily, and how much you have died, and what you have died, and what you have killed, what you have cast off. If you check like this, then it's not that difficult to come into spirit or spirit, in my opinion. Well, then your life will be a life of a true servant with which you can give glory to God the Father. In this message, I'll talk to you about the three aspects by which you can be renewed every day and live a life that gives glory to God. through this message, I urge you to change into spirit and whole spirit this year. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may become true servant who can lead the flocks to life, to green pastures and quiet waters, and to health. Dear devotees and church members, to live a life that gives glory to God, first of all, you must not have ulterior motives. You have heard about this so many times now. Even though you are very faithful, you will give a hard time to the flock and disgrace God as long as you have ulterior motives. You will not be able to bear the fruit that is pleasing in the sight of God. Galatians 5 verse 24 says, Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Especially as pastors, you must not have fleshly affections or desires. They have to consider their flock more precious than their own parents and children. Not just greed, but they have to cast away pride and arrogance and desires for fame and authority. If their attitude toward those who serve and love them well is different from their attitude toward those who don't, it's not right. They must cast away desire to be recognized and praised. Those who don't cast away such ulterior motives, even after listening to so many messages, always give excuses to justify their actions. For example, they may do something to reveal themselves, but they might say that they are doing it for the glory of God with thanks to God. To be more specific, they urge the church members to gather on offering for various purposes or suggest that they should have an outdoor event. They don't really have to do those things, but they push something like this to be noticed by others. Well, when we had the incident in 1999, well, I didn't know who took the lead of such incident to destroy this church. And who was the leader of that incident? I couldn't find him. I didn't know who he was and who she was. There must be someone. Then I thought, you know, everybody, you know, allied together and allied themselves together to destroy me. Well, I didn't know. A few years later, someone came out. He was an elder. And he said, Well, actually, you know, I mean, there was an elder who stood before me that he took the lead to, you know, bring our members to the broadcasting stations to stand against those, you know, people who destroyed this church. And he thought he was doing the right thing. So an elder came out and said, you know, confidently, and I was, you know, sorry for him. Because the elder didn't have right idea. You know, he must be shameful. But how could be, you know, feel confident for himself? And he was, you know, taking pride of himself doing that. You know, because of the action, you know, this church had to take all the disadvantages. But he was, you know, quite, you know, taking pride of it. But later on, he passed away. So they do something like this to be noticed by others. Well, when they promote such an event or a particular kind of work, they don't consider the opinions, situations, and desires of the leaders and church members, but they just do what they see fit. Then it is difficult for the hearts of the members to be united, and the fruit of their efforts will also be fleshly fruit. And yet, they say they are working for the kingdom and glory of God, and refuse to acknowledge their selfish motives. Reflect upon your hearts when you were delivering messages, whether in services or missions. You know, pastors must always be ready to preach at any time. You know, they have to prepare themselves whenever they got time, when they pray or when they read. Well, they must be armed with the Word of God and preach a message by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at any given moment. But there are some pastors who want to deliver messages because they want to flaunt themselves. Well, they think they know the problems of the flock better than others, and they think they can deliver a better message to them. Then, after the message, they wait for the flock to say that the message really touched them. And also, in the given testimonies of their flock, they tend to, furtively bring attention to themselves. That they, furtively put on an emphasis on themselves, saying, I prayed for them, I consoled them, and I guided to the shepherd, and they received blessings. Sometimes they think that the flock is supposed to serve them because they are pastors. And they give a hard time to those who do not serve them. For example, suppose a pastor had a family event, like a wedding or a funeral, and some leaders served this pastor while others didn't. Now, what kind of attitude should this pastor have? They should be thankful and somewhat embarrassed that they are served by the flock. Well, they should. And they should not, consider it, take it for granted. Well, they should also think about whether their members had any difficulties because of the event. But if you take being served for granted, it is something very shameful before the Lord. Moreover, if you have resentment or complaints in your heart, thinking, how come this leader does not do his duty to serve a pastor? Just because the church members do not serve you. What a shameful thing this is as a pastor. When Jesus was ministering, many people sold their possessions to serve him. But Jesus didn't ask them to serve him. He never insisted or expected to be served. He rather served everyone in the most humble position, and he gave only love, life, and blessings to their souls. He only served. He didn't sleep comfortably.
Do you think the Lord, asked his disciples to dine out? He didn't have such time.
Whenever he got time, he preached the message. Whenever he got time, he prayed for the sick and healed people. And during the night time, he went up a mountain and prayed. So he served everyone in the most humble position, and he gave only love, life, and blessings. And those souls who received his grace served him with voluntary love out of their own free will. Also, Jesus received their service because he knew that they were serving him with joy. Above all, it was because their deeds of faith and love would bring upon them more spiritual and material blessings. If you truly want to resemble the Lord, then, like Jesus, you must not think about how you ought to be served. Our Lord sacrificed himself to serve others, and his people served them back. Well, you should not expect to be served only. You have to serve first, and you should be served each other. Then how beautiful it's going to be. So you have to think about how to give grace to and serve the souls and humble yourself like Jesus. How to serve just one more soul. How to plant faith and hope for heaven. How to heal just one more soul and to receive blessing. You have to have this kind of heart. You must not seek worldly authority, fame, or wealth. But you have to long for spiritual authority and power. You cannot ask any person for this authority and power. You have to receive it from God through your effort in prayers and fasting. You have to correctly understand the spiritual principle. Then it will be so interesting. Because Father God's word is so true and absolute. If you become humble, Father God will lift you up. If you die, Father God will raise you up. Well, I've been living such life. When I served and gave, Father God raised me and gave me back abundantly. All the time. This is true. You have to have this kind of trust relationship between Father and you. You have to make the word of God proven like this. Father God said this, but you know, you say, no, I did it, but I didn't receive any blessing. Well, instead of saying that, you should say, you know, whenever I did what the Father God told me to do, then I received blessing. Your action should have something to do with the word in the Bible. Then you can teach others too. Without it, how can you visit your members and how can you teach your people? And how can you give counseling service to your people? Your action has nothing to do with the word of God. But how can you teach the word of God to those in the flock? Do you think they will follow you? The word and your reaction should be one. That whenever you say something, and it should be accomplished, then when you become one with God the Father, it means you are one with the Word. Then whatever you say will be accomplished. And I myself realize and understand such Word of God. That's what I've been doing, just as God said. I never accepted any fee from this church, from the start of this church. My faith is like this. Father God will give me, and that's what I will accept. I've never borrowed money from anybody. Then I showed my confession, and I confessed that, Father God gave me something that I would receive. Well, the church was in a difficult financial situation. And how can I receive a fee as a pastor from this church? And Father God took care of me. Whenever in summertime, I had the watermelon, my favorite fruit in summertime. Even though there were not many members, I was receiving such stuff all the time. Whenever it was necessary, I got financial support from others. So a month, 2 months passed by, a year passed by. And then this church became rich, and I myself became rich. Every year this church increased the fee. I have no idea how much it's going to be, but I've never counted. But, the manager, director of the financial department, raised it, but I don't know. I don't know how much it is. But they say, still they have to raise it. But, well, I don't accept it. I just, reject it. I've never counted it. I've never received it. I just gave it back to Father God again. Well, since I don't have any in the greed and selfish idea, I just confess that I would receive only what Father God gives. Well, then Father God works through me. I've never made a mistake. I've never put in a difficult situation. I was never been short of anything. And whenever there were people who were in need, I gave to them. For a couple of weeks, I didn't have a meeting on Saturdays, right? I went to mountains while I was under spiritual training. And then I don't have any meetings with the congregants on Saturday. And I have many places that I have to give money to. But Father God works through many people. So I received money from overseas countries enough so that I can spend those money for those needy. So I've been, experiencing such stuff. I respected, I received unexpected offerings from other countries so that I could help, I could give charity to people. There hasn't been any incident that, the balance of my account becomes zero. Well, get rid of your selfish motives and greed.
then Father God, and then just become a pastor that Father God wants you to be, then you will be short of nothing. Well, this country, whole country was in difficult situation, and the servants God was in difficult situation too. And I witnessed so many pastors, those who truly loved God, and who were truly loved God by God, never borrowed money from others, never lent money from others, and they never used the credit card, but they were still in abundance. Father God fed them and clothed them, like Pastor Hyuk-hee Cho. But those with selfish motives and greed and who ask for others' help, you know, they were always in need. You must not seek worldly authority, fame, or wealth, but you have to long for spiritual authority and power. You cannot ask any person for this authority and power. You have to receive it from God the Father through your effort in prayers and fasting. You cannot receive it from person. You can receive it only from God the Father. So you have to ask God. You have to receive it from God. Since you are a pastor, servant of God, you have to ask God to receive it. You cannot ask any people, any in the organization to receive it. I hope you will check yourself every day and purify yourself. Whenever you do a certain work or speak a word, check yourself again and again as to whether or not you are trying to reveal your work rather than seeking the will of the Lord, whether you wanted to possess things, to be served, and to take things for your benefit. Well, and as long as you have this, the trusted relationship between you and Father God cannot stand still. You have to get everything like this. Empty yourself and get rid of it. Get rid of any fleshly idea and thoughts. And instead, fill your heart with the thoughts of God and see whether your life is going to be like just as Father God said. There are many examples found in the Old Testament and New Testament, and your life will become theirs. I earnestly urge you to become pastors who don't have even the slightest trace of ulterior motives in what you do. Dear devotees, to live a life to give glory to God, second, you always have to think about the spiritual things. Always the spiritual things. When you visit new believers or newcomers, what a pity it would be if they didn't gain hope for heaven, but only seek worldly things. You must teach them that even though a person may enjoy wealth and honor, all the fleshly things are meaningless, and they have to long for heavenly and spiritual things. But even those who teach like this sometimes do not always look at the spiritual things either. They say they long for spirit, but their heart and mind are full of fleshly things, and their eyes are fixed on fleshly things. If you can write a note about every single thought that you have for the whole day, what kinds of things would be written down? Are there things like, there is a good restaurant with good food and great view. Maybe I want to go there sometime. I wonder whether there is a good place to go and rest. What clothes should I wear? I wonder how I should decorate my house. What kinds of hobbies should I do? You know, some pastors are coming to our church, right? And they ask me these kind of questions. Well, senior pastor, I mean, what do you eat? How do you maintain your youth? What do you eat? There are many pastors like that. I mean, is there any special food that you take to maintain your youth? I mean, how can you look so young? Well, I met you 20 years ago, and you look even younger than 20 years ago. I mean,
How do you maintain your youth? What should I do? What kind of answer should I give to? Well, I eat rice and kimchi, vegetables. I don't like meat. Well, my church members, you know, give me ginseng and others, but I don't take it. I don't eat it. I don't eat it because there is ginseng. You know, if, you know, people give me that it is good for my health, then I don't eat it because I am too good. The Word of God and prayer is enough. What kind of hobby should I do? You know, people are looking for such stuff. Well, there are good TV programs and movies people talk about nowadays. I wonder when I'll get time to watch them. If you put your mind on the fleshly things, on eating, drinking, resting, and getting drunk, then your mind will incline toward fleshly even more. You won't be able to control yourself feeling it's enough. You will only seek more and more fleshly things. Just like your thirst will increase when you drink seawater, your heart will fall toward flesh more and more, and finally, you will commit sins. Surprisingly, there are workers who are supposed to have faith, who pray hard and attend all worship services, and yet they commit grave works of the flesh. They didn't commit such grave sins from the beginning. The problem all began as they accepted small things, thinking it is not a great sin. To the extent that they allow flesh in your heart and thoughts, the fullness of the Spirit will go away. You experienced it, so you know. Especially students and young people. Since you accepted the fleshly things, you lost the grace and love that you received first, and you came to dislike praying and attending worship services. You continue to look for worldly things, and you befriend the world. And if you begin to commit some, you know, trivial sins, you will have walls of sin between you and God. Your ears will become more dull to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and your heart will also become numb. You will eventually commit grave sins leading to death. When you had the first love of the Lord in the beginning, you must have filled your whole heart and mind with spiritual things. As you graduated from the theological college, or when you were ordained as a pastor, how fervent your passion was. You must have made up your mind to cut off all the fleshly things and quickly go into spirit and whole spirit and become a true servant of God. You would cut off, you know, trivial fleshly things to concentrate on the word and prayer, even in your leisure time. And you discipline yourself to make it your slave. In a brain church, you know, you have to bring revival to your brain church. How many brain churches have increased their numbers? You have to pray hard, and you have to solve for spiritual things. Now, in your leisure time, in your vacation, what did you do? When your brain church didn't experience any revival, where did you go? Did you spend your time in a mountain or a sea? Where did you spend your time? You must kneel down and pray to God the Father to receive His strength. A pastor went to a school to read the Bible. I knew there are a couple of pastors like that. I'm just wondering, you know, how our servants of God spent their summer vacation. You would cut off trivial fleshly things to concentrate on the word and prayer, even in your leisure time, and you discipline yourself to make it your slave. This kind of fervor must never cool down. It should grow up. It should become hotter and hotter until the Lord comes back. It should not stagnate or turn or backslide. I mean, our Lord will call you a lazy slave, a lazy servant, or evil servant. It is written in the Bible. A master called his servant a lazy and evil servant. You can, you know, you should remember the teachings of our Lord. You have to remember such word. If you remember what our Lord taught, then you will not ignore your duty as a pastor. What you have to harbor and think in your heart until the Lord comes back are the spiritual things. You have to think only about spiritual things, such as, how can I arm myself with the Word of God more? How can I pray more? How can I change more quickly and please God by bearing good fruits in spirit and body? You know, a servant of God can deliver a message once he is standing on the altar. You have to long for this kind of status, and you have to pray and fast to become like that. You know, there are pastors who have to prepare about more than a month to deliver a message. Well, you should be able to just give an hour and then deliver a message. But some pastors, you know, plan for it and pray for it for about a month to deliver a one-time message. The first chapter of Psalm, our Lord tells you to meditate on the Word of God every day and night. Servants of God should meditate on the spiritual Word of God every day. And you have to arm yourself with the Word of God so that whenever you speak, such spiritual message should come out from your lips. You have to meditate on the Word of God and arm yourself with the Word of God. If you did, then you would not be like you are now. You should become a servant who received power from God. How can I perform God's power to give life to many souls? How can I solve that soul's problem? How can I give fullness of spirit to that soul? How can I make this soul's faith grow up? How can I make this soul's faith grow up? Even when you walk on the streets or when you lie down for a while at night, you have to remember the Word of God and think about how you are changing yourself. You have to think of the souls. You will not lose the fullness of the Spirit if you just think of spiritual things and fill your heart with the spiritual things. For you always experience the Lord who walks with you and attests to you. You have no time to feel loneliness or emptiness. I mean, you don't have time for this. But if you feel like this, then ask yourself what you're doing. You have to lament. And you have to weep. You are given so many duties by God the Father as a servant of God. You have to bring revival to your church or your parish. You have to weep and lament and cry whether you are doing a good job as a servant of God. You can quickly change and cultivate holiness, and you can also bear many fruit in your ministry. I hope that you will always think of spiritual things and renew yourself every day.
in year 2011, you have to renew yourself again and reborn again. You should not become the one that you used to be. You have to become a new servant of God, armed with the word of God and power. Dear devotees, to live a life that gives glory to God, third, you must live a life of obedience. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. It is written in the Old Testament, they always gave burnt offerings, and they did all the time, right? But Father God said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. If you don't obey, but give offerings many times, then Father God will not be pleased. If a man of disobedience give offerings and sacrifice to God the Father, Father God would not be pleased with him. As pastors, you always hear about obedience. Servants are obviously supposed to listen to their masters. The masters will feed the servants and use them for the work they want done only when the servants obey. Many people say they will completely trust God and obey Him when they are full of the Spirit. Many of you said, I can give my most precious thing to the Lord just like Abraham offered Isaac. Abraham, when God told Abraham to offer Isaac, he knew Abraham would do. But he gave an order, and Abraham didn't complain at all, but gave Isaac as a sacrifice. Then just imagine how pleased our Father God was. 3 or 4 weeks ago, Father God gave me a word about Abram. I think I told you before. Father God was so pleased when Abraham obeyed the word of God. In a fleshly sense, it was the thing that Abram could not obey. But since Abram was a man of spirit, he just obeyed without any thought. When Father God told him to give Isaac as a burnt offering, Abraham obeyed, and Father God was pleased. And read the Bible. What happened to Abraham? It was just a list of blessings for Abraham. Everything was blessing for Abraham. Because Father God was so pleased, and there was nothing left to test Abraham with. That was the last test, and Abraham passed it. That's why, Father God had nothing left to test him with. So, if you read on the Bible, the rest is all the blessing for Abraham. Well, I will obey any command of God, even if it doesn't agree with man's thoughts. Also, many of you said, I can obey only with amen because I have seen the power of the shepherd and I trust him. Well, servants of God, in this church and branch churches, do we have a servant of God who truly obey? I do search whether there is. If there is, then I would call upon him or her, and I will share the word of blessing, and I will teach him or her. But I haven't found one yet. I haven't found one who can truly obey. Now you may wonder, well, I think I obey, and I am ready to obey whenever you say something. But why do you say you are searching for such a servant? Now, I will give you with the figurative an example. If you use your thought, obedience is not perfect. If you use fleshly thought, then it is not perfect obedience. Let's say, read the Bible. Those people of God, do you think when they acted with the fleshly idea, do you think they would obey? With fleshly idea, they couldn't obey. You might think you would obey, but, think of King Saul. He tried to get the animals and gave them to try to give them to God the Father as offerings and as a sacrifice. But he was discarded by God. It was not obedience. Also, many of you said, I can obey only with amen because I have seen the power of the shepherd and I trust him. But in fact, it's not easy to find those workers who truly obey. Most people would begin to use various fleshly thoughts if they were in the same situation as Abraham had been. How can God of love command such a fearful thing? God said he would give me descendants through Isaac. Is he changing his promise now? Well, if you use fleshly thought like this, then Father God would, you know, change his promise. For without even making an obedience, you think like this. And you think, you know, Father God is changing his promise. I mean, if you use your fleshly thoughts, you know, you can come up with this kind of idea. Many people receive Satan's work through their thoughts. You know, they use their own thoughts and judge and condemn, and meanwhile they receive the work of Satan. Without seeing, they say as if they saw. And some people convey, you know, words, you know, differently, and they tell a lie. And later they judge and condemn. Many things happening like this. If you have such thoughts, the fullness of spirit will fall, and you might even resent or complain against God for commanding you to do such a thing. In the end, you would not be able to offer Isaac. If you obey only when you are happy and only when the command is in agreement with your idea, we cannot say you are obeying. You must be able to do anything that God the Father and the Lord want. Now, what Father God and the Lord wants is not in agreement with your thought. That's why spiritual obedience is the obedience that you cannot make in a fleshly sense. I mean, you can obey with the command, you can obey to the command that you can agree. But if you obey the word which you cannot obey, this is the spiritual obedience. Let's say, go to Pharaoh and tell him to do something. If you, Moses, you had used his own thought, he would have fled. He would have run away. But Moses went to Pharaoh and delivered the message. Father God told him to divide the Red Sea. Do you think you can divide the Red Sea if you use your fleshly thought? What would happen if, you know, I said the Red Sea divide, but it doesn't divide? What would happen? Walk the city of Jericho 10 times? I mean, walk around the city of Jericho every day and shout and it will collapse? Now, can you obey? Well, this is the command that you cannot obey. Well, think of the cross of our Lord. And Isaac, think of it. When you make obedience to the command that you cannot obey, this is the spiritual obedience. You should obey like this. So when I, you know, when I had this pastor seminar, and in brain churches, when I had the meetings, I didn't find anyone who is truly obeying. So when a pastor asked me to give in a seminar, I said no. Because even if I do, nobody obeys and nobody experiences revival. Well, if you receive the word and during the seminar, then you have to practice the word and receive the blessing. But you don't bear fruit, you don't obey. You know, what do you want me to do in a seminar? So I rejected the offer. It is the devotional service. But So you should say amen if you are appointed, right? From the first week of this year, you should not have any resentment or complaint, right? Then the whole year would be in pitch, in the blackness, right? You shouldn't have any ill feelings inside your heart. Well, since you accepted well when I point you out, that's why I point you, okay? So you must be able to do anything that God the Father and the Lord want. In order to do that, you must cast away ulterior motives and fleshly thoughts. Well, I have watched over you all the time, whether you are making obedience to the word that you can obey. Now, look at me. Father God does not give me a command that I can obey. Well, it was the command that I couldn't obey. But I said amen and I obeyed. Go to Dubai and preach the gospel. How can you preach the gospel in Middle East Asia? But I went there and I preached the gospel. Well, when I went there, the crusade was canceled. And there was a blockade in front of the hotel where I was staying. They tried to stop me preaching the gospel. Now, what did I do? The police officers blocked the whole hotel entrance. But it was the commandment of God the Father to preach the gospel. So, we had a plan. Police officers had their own plan, and now we had the plan. We had to escape from the hotel. So, we rent a car, and we parked the car in front of the hotel entrance, and we pretend as if we were taking the rent car, but we used our own cars, and we went to a certain place and delivered the message. And so many disabled people were healed. The deaf came to hear, the blind came to see, the mute came to speak. And then, well, Dubai didn't give me any award or the plaque of appreciation. I did it like that. Do you think the government would not know it? And then, there is a classified document that Dubai has a freedom of religion because Dr. Gerald Lee preached the gospel in the country. So, because of me, Dubai became a country where the freedom of religion is offered. Well, they should know and they should give me a plaque of appreciation because of me, they become a country with the freedom of religion. Father God told me to go this place, go to Israel, go to Pakistan. No, which is the country and the preaching gospel is prohibited. Go to India to preach the gospel. Well, I obeyed. When I went there, I was able to give great glory to God the Father. Millions of people gathered. And I preached the gospel. And so many people converted to become Christians. So many churches were established since then. And my sermons are broadcasting in their channels. So, when you obey the command you cannot obey, the fruit will be so great. This is the obedience. You should be able to make this kind of obedience. Even though you make up your mind to obey, you will show disobedience as long as you have flesh. Using your fleshly thoughts, you disobey even the things that you can surely obey, and yet you give excuses. When you hear that you must obey, you say amen with your lips. But how much are you really engraving it on your heart? Would you truly do what God says to do and not do what He says not to do? Well, actually, that's what I'm doing. You know, if Father God tells me to get rid of it, then I get rid of it. I obey. Well, this is what even a fleshly man can do. It's not difficult. But this is not what I'm saying. Obedience is the obedience when you obey the command which you cannot obey. This is the obedience. But you don't do it. You can't.
So many people just obey within their own limits, and yet they don't really make up their mind to obey, thinking that they are obeying to some extent and they are doing better than others. For example, when you hear, "Think of spiritual things only," then you respond with "Amen," and you pray that you will have only spiritual thoughts. But soon, if you have fleshly thoughts, following your old habits, you don't cut it off immediately. You dive into the thoughts that are arising, and you might even take after the flesh, following your thoughts. You just heard God's word and prayed that you should have only spiritual thoughts, but since it is not really a grave sin, you will just leave it be. You think you will cast away the other things first. If you stay at the same spot this way, you cannot improve your faith that is on hold. You cannot fill up your deficiencies of the body, and you cannot bear the fruit that God wants. The quickest way for you to go into Spirit and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is for you to obey unconditionally. Don't make any excuse or give reasons, but just practice the truth and do what you are told. God will lead your life when you obey all the time like this. You can go forward step by step and hand in hand with the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can live a life that can give glory to God. Dear devotees and church members, even the unbelievers know that they have to disciple their body to make it obedience to succeed in their lives. Even though you know the way of success, those of you who follow laziness and lust cannot take the way of obedience. But even among these people, some dramatically change their attitudes. Those who used to live in dispassion and helplessness face a life-threatening situation but are saved. Then their lives change completely overnight and they live a proper life. Those students who never used to study get shocked due to a certain reason and start studying very hard. There was a big change among students. Now they are changed to study. Now they say amen. Now there are students over there. They worship God in spirit and truth with their eyes open, with the right attitude. But they change like this in a short period of time. Well, they fell asleep, they had idle thoughts, and, they had their cell phone on all the time. But by the grace of God, they changed like that. Now that they become students who truly study. Now we have many students who become the number one in their class. They changed overnight. It didn't take more than a half a year. So many people applied for Seoul National University and Korea University and Yonsei University and others and other universities. Seeing these people, others around them say that they have changed completely and they've become a new person. I urge you to change completely in this year 2011 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You are precious pastors who will have to be responsible for hundreds or thousands of sheep in this church that has so many works to do at this end time. When we go to Canaan Sanctuary, we will have much more times of the members than now. Then you should be able to take care of more souls than now. Now, you have to make your capability bigger than now. When you, pray in just 10 minutes and you make a visit to your members, the problems of the member should be solved. You should be able to like this. Then you can take care of so many people then.
facing the era of Canaan right in front of us, that the Father is more eagerly looking for spiritual warriors. Get out of the limitation of the flesh, just like birds that break their eggshells and come out. Cast away ulterior and selfish motives. Think of spiritual things alone and obey completely. May you become a pastor of Mamin who flies forward for the glory of God with vigor and strength like the soaring eagle. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your grace and love. Bless us to have what we heard today become faith and life. Bless our servants of God. They have to think about spiritual things first. And to become a spiritual pastors, they have to walk a proper way. Father, please work on those pastors. Let them become renewed. Let them make a new decision. Let them become new creatures. Let them come to new resurrection. So that in 2011, let them be faithful to their given duties. Bless them, Father. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hand on the sick parts of your body or infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God, please lay your hands on these people. Transcending space and time, please work on them. Those who receive this prayer on satellites, on the internet, and GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. And missionaries and members of the branch churches. Many people sent their prayer request along with their pictures. Please lay your hands on these pictures and names. Pastor Seung-Gil Ryu from Japan is going to hold handkerchief prayer meeting in the Mamin Church. Bless him. Pastor Changmi Lee will have handkerchief prayer meeting in Osaka Mamin Church. Bless her. Mizuguchi Ginji is suffering from the lung cancer, burnt all cancer by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, please work on her, transcending space and time. Cancer, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Father, Pastor Paul Lee in Germany, he is going to lead the Measure of Faith seminar in Henry, the church ministered by Pastor Henry. Bless Pastor Ho Su Lee in Congo. Bless him, and so that when he leads the pastor seminar, let many pastors come and receive grace. Please bless General Ndadi so that he can receive blessing in his work and have peace in his family and to sell his property in a good price. Bless missionary De Unkang in France to have good handkerchief prayer meeting in France Mammon Church. Bless Tanya in the States to become healthy both in spirit and body along with her children and to receive blessing in her business. Bless Wang Rung Yuan to receive blessing on his left side neck. Bless Wang Wiran to be healed of breast disease and a problem with her urine and vagina. And bless Gao Shi Ryuin to be healed of kidney stone and breast disease and a tumor. Bless Jian Zhaoran to be healed of Parkinson's disease. Bless Guan Yongpu to be healed of weakened heart. Bless Li Pechin so that she can finish 30-day fasting well. Bless Yang Zhaan to be talented in dance. Bless Rin Yan to receive blessing of conception. Bless Chang Su-Chin to be healed of vagina cancer and to receive blessing for her daughter-in-law's pregnancy. Bless Marin to be healed of heart disease. burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Diabetes, go away. For me, may IG. Bless Ryu Sinder to be healed of eye disease. Bless Wang Hung Kai so that she can find a good job. Bless Su Yi Yu to pass the driver's test. Bless Li Zigang so that her parents to get rid of all the idols and to be healed of all diseases. Bless Yang Zubin and Song Se to sell her business in a good price. Bless Zhang Linglin, Zhong Binggun, Liu Weizhen, Chen Shou-en, Zhang Guiz to be forgiven of all the past sins and to receive answers to their 2011 prayer titles. And let them have spiritual faith and accomplish the family evangelization. Father, please work on those people transcending space and time. Father, please lay your hands on these people in our congregation from head to toe in every intestines and organs and nerve system. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Father, please work on these people. Bless them. Work on these people. Let them become healthy both in spirit and body. Let them see well. Let them hear well. Stomach, kidney, lung, all kinds of intestines become normal. May the light come. Father, please work on these people. Bless them to be healthy both in spirit and body. All the skin diseases go away. High blood pressure, low blood pressure go away. Diabetes go away. Cancers go away. Father, please bless them to be healthy both in spirit and body. Father, bless all the pastors and servants of God to come into spirit and the Holy Spirit. Let them completely obey. Bless them, Father. Father, please work on these servants of God. Father, let them obey quickly. Father, let them fervently pray and receive power. And let their power be increased and let them receive even greater power. Please bring revival to brain churches. Bless them. They have to revive. It's time to revival. And bless their churches financially too. Father, thank you. Bless them this week, next week, and 2 weeks later. Give your grace. Protect them all the time. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.